Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 21. We'll be reading a parable that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 21. We'll read that passage in just a minute, but before we begin that, I mentioned this was going to be a New Year's message, and so when you think of the new year, when you anticipate the new year, obviously you're thinking about resolutions and something you are setting as a goal this next year. I suppose that if I were to ask how many of you have made a New Year's resolution at any time in your life, almost all of you would raise your hand. How many of you have made those for this next year? I don't know. I don't need to know. But I ask for you to think about this. Have you made a resolution for this next year? Many of us make resolutions at many times. Some of us intend to lose weight and intend to exercise more, intend to daily spend time in the Bible, meditation and prayer, intend to memorize scripture, intend to stay right with God, intend to be more faithful in assembling ourselves with believers, intend to be a better husband, intend to be a better wife, intend to be a more obedient child, intend to be a better parent. I have repeated a word. Out loud, please. Intend. Intend. Good intentions. That's the title of this message. Many of us have good intentions. In other words, we mean well. We would often say to somebody else, well, I meant well. And when you say that, in some cases you're trying to excuse yourself. Well, I meant well, although I did not do what I said I was going to do, I meant well. And then we're all supposed to go, okay, well, you meant well, that's okay. Now, this is going to be a convicting message this morning because it is to me. We have good intentions, and oftentimes we will excuse what we did not do simply because we had good intentions. Does that cut it? I know of a guy once who was with his brother driving through the middle of Kansas in the middle of the night. And you know that if you're headed for Colorado, as they were, that you have to come, if you're in Kansas, on Interstate 70. He meant to stay on I-70, but ended up near Oklahoma. He intended to stay on I-70. When they woke up the next morning, when his brother woke up, he said, "Where are we?" He says, "I don't know. I intended to stay on I-70. Does that have any ramifications when we intend to do something and then don't do it? In a case like that, it's quite noticeable. Many men will stand before God one day having had good intentions. I want you to see this passage, Matthew chapter 7, and I want to read to you verses 21 to 23. Many, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice that word doeth, because we're going to key in on that word when we get to the parable in just a minute. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice that Jesus said, it's only the one who doeth the will of my Father. These people say, we've done many wonderful works in your name. We have done good intentions. But Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Islam teaches that if you desire to do good, but don't do it, it will be counted for you as if you did it. What does the Bible say? The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I don't care what Islam says. Simply having good intentions, meaning well doesn't cut it. And oftentimes we will hear, I intended to do it, as if intentions alone is acceptable. I remember heading to Bob Jones as a freshman, and one of my friends from Kansas, we lived in Kansas, and he said, hey, I used to live in Florida. Let's go spend 3 weeks in Florida with my friends and family down there, and then we can go up to Bob Jones on a bus. So we went down to Florida 3 weeks before, and when those 3 weeks were expired, we got on a Greyhound bus in Miami and headed for Greenville, South Carolina. When I got on the bus, I noticed another clean-cut guy. This is back in the 70s, remember? I noticed another clean-cut guy on the bus, found out he was headed to Bob Jones too. And as we got to talking, he said, what are you guys going to major in? I said, well, I'm going to major in Bible. My friend said, I'm majoring in pastoral studies. I said, what are you going to major in? He said, I'm going to major in Bible. He proceeded then to tell me how he knew that's what he was supposed to do because God had laid upon his heart a verse. And so I began to think, I don't have a verse. I don't remember God laying a verse on my heart. So I thought, wow, I'm already a loser. And so as we traveled on this bus, I thought about that. You know what? This guy had good intentions, but he didn't even make it through the semester. Good intentions. Even a good Bible. Sincerity. And he dropped out. Here in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is addressing the religious leaders. Look at chapter 21 and verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, and they begin to question him. So we know he's addressing these religious leaders, the chief priests and the elders. And they challenge Jesus about his authority and they ask him a question accordingly. But Jesus turns around and challenges them in verses 28 to 32, which is our text this morning. Here's what he says. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, now I'd like you to read that out loud, those next three words. I will not. But notice, afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, next three words, please, out loud.
I go, sir,
and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, these are the Pharisees, these are the chief priests and the scribes, they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, and Jesus makes application here, which is going to tick them off. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So Jesus is likening the publicans and the sinners to the one who said, I will not go, but then they went. And he says to you Pharisees, you religious leaders, you are like the one who said, I go, sir, and went not. What an application. What a challenging application. The father gives the same command to both sons, but there's a different response from each of them. This speaks to us. To when we say we will do and do not do what we said we would do, even if you mean well. But if you do not do what you say you will do, to whom in this parable are you likened? The scribes and the Pharisees, to the unsaved. The names are not given of these two sons because it's a parable. So I would like to name these two sons. I would like to name son number one, went. I would like to name son number two, went not. Now, I don't think any of you are going to name your kids after this, but went and went not. Went and went not. Jesus is speaking this the very week he is crucified. Just a few short chapters later, Peter's going to say to Jesus, though every man denies you, I will not do it. Did Peter have good intentions, folks? Good intentions don't cut it. He denied his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our theme for 2018 was faithful and wise stewards of God's truth, ambassadors for Christ. I would like to make this our theme for this next year. Faithful and wise stewards of God's truth. Those who do what they say. Those who do what they say. So let's look at these two sons. Simple outline. Point number one is went. Point number two is went not. Let's look at son number one, went. The first son literally said, literally, this is what he, when he says, I, what does he say there in verse 20? I will not. He is literally saying, I don't want to. I do not desire to go. His dad had said, I want you to go into my vineyard and I want you to work my vineyard. I don't want to. Now, number one, that kid deserved a spanking. But this is a parable. I don't want to. How respectful is that when a child says to the parent, I don't want to? No. But then he repented and went. If this describes somebody who gets saved, and that's what Jesus is talking about here, then it also describes the life of one who is saved. This word repented is not the usual word for repentance. In fact, it has the idea of changing one's intentions. So although he did not initially want to obey his father's command, later he changed his intentions. No intention, but good result here. He did not intend to serve God, but he changes his mind and serves God. Now I want you to note Jesus' application. This son, whom we call went, is likened to the tax-cheating publicans, to those who would collect more from people than they were supposed to and take it as commission. This son went is likened to the prostitutes, the scum of society, these publicans and these prostitutes. You see, the scum of society never intended to obey the Lord. But then they heard the preaching of John the Baptist, Jesus says in verse 32. They heard the preaching of John the Baptist. They believed. In other words, they believed the one he spoke of, Jesus Christ. And they went. These who had no intention of doing God's will, but in response to the preaching of a man of God, they repented and did it. I'm giving an illustration here, and I've embarrassed this woman before, and I trust I don't make it too hard on you, Summer. But as I was preparing this message, I thought of her. And I went back and I looked in my records. She was invited by a friend and came to Westside Baptist Church. It was April 19th of 2009. She had no intention of heeding God's word. In fact, I remember her. I think she sat right here close to where Hannah's sitting, somewhere right down there. And I remember preaching and watching her busily take notes. I thought, wow. Well, little did I know that she was going to confront me with what some of the questions she was writing down. And after the service, she was kind about it. And yet I could tell she was searching. And she began to ask, she never intended to heed God's word. She went on June the 7th, the day you got saved. She went. Baptized August the 2nd. Became a member September the 13th. Not trying to embarrass you, but I think of that when I think of this young man who never intended in this parable to do what the father said. He said, I won't, I refuse. And then repented and went. That's son number one. We're going to spend a lot of time on son number two, because that's what Jesus is likening to the Pharisees, the chief priests and the scribes. So we've talked about went. Let's talk about went not. The second son was very respectful. I love the way the King James puts it. I go, sir. Wow, what a nice young man. Son, go into my vineyard. I go, sir, literally. I will, master. I will, Lord. Agreeable, kind, respectful, nice to your face. You leave the presence of this young man as a father and you go, I am so thankful he agrees to do it. I wish my other son would be like this. You know, he said he would do it, and he so respectful. Little does the father know that he didn't mean it at all. Or that he maybe had good intentions, but gave an excuse later. And his excuse may be, well, I forgot. But that still doesn't negate the fact that he said, I go, sir. Because as far as the father's concerned, as he said, he was going to go. He had good intentions. I think of what Jesus said in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, the word sir here, and do not the things which I say? Literally, this young man by the name of went not literally said, I am willing, good intention, no result. He intended to serve God, at least by what he said, but he does not do. Now notice Jesus' application. This son, went not, is likened to a self-righteous Pharisee. The people that Jesus is addressing. Went not is a Pharisee. How do you describe a Pharisee? Here are some positive ways to describe a Pharisee. Meticulous. Spiritually minded. Students of Scripture. Zealous. Paul would describe himself that way in Philippians chapter 3. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning this, far above it, for some very good ways to describe a Pharisee, but let's describe a Pharisee negatively. Most equate a Pharisee with a legalist. Somebody who has high standards. If that's your definition of a Pharisee, you've got the wrong definition. Because Jesus gives us the definition of a Pharisee. And I want you to remember this definition because I want you to look at it. We're in chapter 21. Go to chapter 23 because Jesus is going to tell us, here is a Pharisee. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and said, and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, here it is, but do ye not after their works. Now here it is really. For they say and. They say and do not. They say and do not. You know the definition of a Pharisee? They say and do not. And by the way, they will say it and they will make sure that you do what they say, although they don't do what they say. Jesus talks about that in the next verse. They bind heavy burdens on people and so forth. It would be one thing if they said something and did it. But they say and don't do. That is the biblical, Christ-giving definition of a Pharisee. They say and do not. I spoke to this at the men's prayer advance this last September. So some of this they may recognize. What is it when you say and do not? What is that? What do you call that? When somebody says, I will do such and such, and then they don't do it. It's a lie. And what does that make that person? You see, this is convicting. Now, the application is only going to get a little bit more personal here. Because right now, everybody's saying, well, that's not me. Well, I'm going to make application. I'm going to make it right here in this church. So are you ready? Is everybody wearing steel-toed shoes this morning? Because somebody's going to get mad at me. I'm not going to call your name out. Don't worry about that. This guy's a liar. Whitnot is a liar. He violates the ninth commandment. He is breaking the law. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 and talks about those who do things that are contrary to sound doctrine. And he says, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind, that's homosexuals, them that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, he says. Then you get to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. And John is writing and he says, here are the people who will not be in heaven. In fact, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Unbelievers, whoremongers, idolaters, and all liars. You see, when somebody is truly saved, lying is repented of. And so from that point on, should never characterize a believer. Somebody who says and does not. And yet, what is the problem with many today, even those who call themselves Christians? They say and do not. Our churches are full of Pharisees. And it's not because they have high standards. It's because they say and do not. You ready for application here? When they join the church, they say, I will. You know what the Constitution says? And this is people signed this when they join. Members are expected to habitually attend services of the church, to give regularly for its support, and share in its organized work. They say, I will. And then do not attend habitually. Do not support it. As a member, to clean the church and then expect others to do it, and I'm exempt. I will be a deacon. I will be a trustee. I will be the clerk. I will be the treasurer. I will serve on the hospitality committee. You notice I've written these down. I will lead in singing. I will do special music. I will do the church bulletin. I will be a nursery worker. I will be a Sunday school teacher. I will be head usher. I will make the schedules. I will be an usher. I will work the sound booth. They say and do not. You see, folks, if we're not faithful in these little things, will we expect anyone to be an ambassador for Christ? A big thing. Some, like the first son, went. At one time he refused, but then he changed his mind and did. Others, like the second son, went not, have made decisions, even professions of faith, had good intentions, but then went not. When you say you're going to do something, you do what you say you're going to do. Here's what wise Solomon said about that. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. Perhaps this second son went not, had good intentions. He planned on working the vineyard. Maybe he did. But maybe he procrastinated. He gave place to the devil. When Jesus is giving the parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13, there was one of those who I look at as having procrastinated. Jesus said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, what should somebody do when they don't understand what they've heard? They should seek further. They should question. But he just simply didn't understand it. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. He procrastinated. Perhaps this young man went not was distracted. Jesus, in another part of this parable in Matthew 13, said, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He became distracted. Something better came along. This happens all the time. You know, somebody makes a commitment to do something and something better comes along. And, well, I couldn't make it because you have to understand now such and such came up and that was so much better than having to do what I was going to do with you. Or persecution. Maybe he was persecuted, Matthew 13, 20. But he that received the word into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Things got hard. And so I know I said I was going to do it, but it was harder than I thought. And you drop out. Perhaps you have good intentions and sing, Lord, send me anywhere. And then go nowhere. Or get tired of the place God has you and constantly seek greener grass. Or like the second son went not, you sing, I will follow Jesus, and then follow your own lusts. Or sing, have thine own way, Lord, and then get mad and bitter at God when he does have his own way. Or you sing, I surrender all, and continue to hold things back from God. Or I want to be faithful, and then drop out of your Bible reading. Drop out of faithful assembling with the saints. Drop out of your responsibilities at church. I want to be faithful. Do you? I will sing of my Redeemer and then sing only feel good about me type songs. Or you sing, I'd rather have Jesus and then neglect spiritual things for sports, for money, or whatever. And it comes down to this, folks. It's not what you say you will do, but it's what you do. You see, the scum of society go into the kingdom of God before these religious leaders. Why? It had to do with John the Baptist and his message. And that goes back to the question these religious leaders had asked Jesus in verses 23 to 27. They would not answer his question of verse 25. Remember how he turned this on them and said, let me ask you a question, and if you answer this, I'll tell you by what I do this, what authority I do this. And so he asks them, in verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they began to talk among themselves, well, if we say such and such, we're in trouble. If we say such and such, we're in trouble. And they come back to him in verse 27 and say, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you, by what authority I do these things. And then he launches right into this parable. But this religious crowd does mean well. They're the ones who are supposed to be the servants of God. They're the ones who are supposed to do the will of God. But they did not believe the preaching of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, who said, there cometh one of whom I am not worthy to loose the latchet of his shoes. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the preaching of John the Baptist, they refused. They refused the one of whom he spoke, Jesus Christ, and yet they talked pious, never doing the will of God. So how do we go beyond just good intentions and put intentions into action? It's just the one word, obedience. How many times does the Bible equate belief with obedience? Many times. Back to that parable of the soils in Matthew 20 and Matthew 13. Of one of the soils, Jesus said this, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here's somebody who does the will of God. Here's somebody who believes, and the fruit is there as evidence that this one may have at one time have said, I will not go, but repented and went. And now there's fruit that is being born as a result. How do you put your intentions into action as a believer now? Abide in Christ, and fruit will be brought forth. Jesus said, he that abideth in me and I in him. We're looking at this in Sunday school. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You know who I would like to be with if persecution ever came to this country? Which would you like to be with? With Mr. Went or Mr. Went Not? I would like to be with the one who had his name changed from Will Not to Went. I learn not to trust those who proudly call themselves Will, but are actually known as Went Nots. Folks, it doesn't matter what you say if you don't do what you say. The will of God is not accomplished with your mouth as much as it is with your heart. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, not that you said it with your mouth, but you believe it in your heart. Because when you do something with your heart, it affects your mouth and it affects your hands and it affects your feet. The will of God is not accomplished with your mouth as much as it is with your heart. That's why Jesus had to say of the Pharisees, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. When God has your heart, he has your hands, he has your feet to do what your mouth says. So, are you known as Went or Went Not? Do you do what you say? When I spoke to the men's prayer advance this last September, I started it with a quote from a song. It was called The Ballad of the Green Berets. And I can't quote it all the way here. I'm trying to remember. I didn't write it down. Does anybody remember how that goes? Mighty soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say. These are the men of the Green Beret. You know, I'm thankful there are some in this world who do what they say. And folks, I would like to have a church of Green Berets. Not fighting physical battles, but the spiritual battles that we face. People who mean just what they say. When one person doesn't do what he says, it has a domino effect. If a schedule's not made, now everything falls. And that's just putting it in practical terms. On a spiritual level, if I'm not faithful in the small things, am I going to be an ambassador for Christ? Probably not. Who are you spiritually? Went or went not? Would you bow your heads, please? You may have come to this service with no intention of responding to the invitation, no intention of responding to